Thank you, Erica. And I'd like to add my welcome to Erica's. It's just really lovely to have you here with us. A special Good Friday service. If I haven't met you before, my name's Reuben Capel, and I'm one of the pastors here. I'd love to get to know you, have a chat afterwards. Do come say hi. It's great that we can be together today. Good Friday. The day when we remember that Jesus died on the cross. The historical evidence for that is quite clear. We just read an eyewitness account from the book of Matthew. There really was a Jewish man called Jesus who died on a Roman cross on a hill outside of Jerusalem about 2,000 years ago. The question is, why? Why did Jesus die? And without being crass, why should we care? Why is this such a big deal? Why are we here today to remember, even to celebrate, the crucifixion of this man? That's what we want to think about together for a few minutes this morning. It's important to answer these questions because God tells us in the Bible that if you really understand the significance of why Jesus died, it will completely change your life. I know that might sound like an overstatement, but it's not. There are hundreds of people in this room today who will vouch for that, not to mention millions around the world right now. When you truly understand why Jesus died, it will change your whole life in the best way possible. So then, isn't it worth us asking, well then why did Jesus die? Here's the answer that God gives us in the Bible. Are you ready? Redemption. Jesus died to redeem us. That's what the Bible says. Jesus died to redeem us. Now, to help us unpack what this means, we're going to zoom in on just one sentence from the Bible this morning. This sentence comes from Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 to 14. This is what it says. For God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That's the sentence we're going to think about today. We're going to break that into three parts. First, we really need to understand what the author Paul means when he talks about the dominion of darkness. It sounds like something out of a Lord of the Rings movie or something, doesn't it? The dominion of darkness. What is this place that we need to be rescued from? Well, allow me to illustrate by telling you the story of a slave girl. This sweet young woman never intended to become a slave. Her plan was to go abroad and hopefully become a movie star. So when she saw the ad online, she knew it was her chance. The chance to get out of her tin pot town and fulfill her dreams of fame and fortune. And so she used all her savings to purchase that ticket. She flew on the plane. She arrived in the strange new city. She found the address where the audition was to be held, and she knocked on the door. But what happened next felt more like something out of a nightmare than her dreams, because she quickly realized there was no audition, there was no chance of a big break, there was nothing but a dark, damp room and a slave master who had no intentions of ever letting her go free again. He was a tyrant. He worked her mercilessly. He went out of his way to tell her how worthless she was, that no one loved her, that nobody wanted her, that no one was coming to set her free. And as the weeks turned into months and then to years, she began to believe him. she began to lose all hope of ever being free because, well, he was right, wasn't he? There was no one who loved her. And there was no one coming to rescue her. Friends, the Bible says that each of us are actually a bit like that slave girl. Because each of us have gone off in pursuit of the pleasures and the treasures of this world, searching for freedom, for happiness. But instead, we have only found captivity. We have found ourselves in the dominion of darkness. The Bible says that each of us have actually become slaves. I know that seems weird because right now you don't have handcuffs on or anything like that, but the Bible says we are all slaves to our sinful desires. And we're slaves to this invisible ruler, this evil ruler called Satan. We chose to turn away from the awesome God who made us and who loves us. We thought we'd be happier if we went over here and did whatever we wanted. But in the end, we didn't find freedom, did we? We found a dark, damp room and a slave master who has no intentions of ever letting us go. Now, I know that seems quite confronting and probably quite extreme. But I do wonder if you've actually experienced something of this in your own life. Perhaps you have experienced the power of a controlling addiction in your life and just felt completely powerless to break free. Why do I keep doing this? Why can't I overcome this? Perhaps you've heard the voice of the slave master in your head telling you that no one loves you and that no one is coming to rescue you. Perhaps you've been watching the news, you've studied history, and you have been grieved to realize that humanity seems to be trapped in an endless cycle of evil and hurt and suffering and hatred. And it seems like no matter how much we try to love and try to educate and try to change, it's never enough. Perhaps in some of your more raw and honest moments, you've even looked at yourself in the mirror and seen a deep pride and selfishness in your heart. And you know it's sabotaging your relationships. And it's fueling this fire of bitterness and discontent and anger inside you that you just don't know how to even put out. If any of that resonates, then I think you have actually experienced a bit of what it means to live in the dominion of darkness and to be a slave to sin. The Bible speaks quite openly about this. And it tells us that the problem is about as bad as you could possibly imagine. It tells us that we're not just a little bit trapped, and that if we try really hard, we can break free. No, it tells us that the chains that hold us are unbreakable, and that if someone doesn't rescue us, we are going to die in captivity. Which is incredibly bleak, I know. The kids were just singing "It's a Happy Day," and you're thinking, well, how the mood has turned. If this was the end of the story, it would be a cause for overwhelming grief and despair. We would be like that slave girl who doesn't believe that anyone can set her free. We would be like the prisoner, sitting in his cell, counting down the days to his execution because he knows that he did the crime and now he has to pay the penalty. But now I want you to imagine that prisoner. Imagine his confusion when the day comes for his execution and he's about to walk down the hallway towards the execution chamber when he's told that there's someone here to speak to him. Unsure of who it could be, the prisoner steps into the meeting room, and there, sitting across the table from him, is a man that he doesn't recognize. He's never seen this man in his life. And so the prisoner asks the visitor who he is. And the visitor says, "I'm the son of the man who you murdered. You killed my dad." And upon hearing this, the prisoner braces himself for what he believes is going to come next, a volley of vengeful, hateful words. And so he's shocked by the words that come out of the visitor's mouth. "I forgive you for what you did to my dad. But not only that, I want to take your place. I want you to go free. And I've already spoken to the authorities and I've organized that it's going to be me dying by lethal injection tonight, not you." And then the prisoner stands there just gaping in shock as his handcuffs are removed and the door is swung wide open and all of a sudden he's free. And he turns around and he watches in disbelief as the visitor walks down the hallway toward the execution chamber to pay the ultimate price for a crime that he never committed. In fact, to pay the ultimate price for a crime that was really committed against him. Friends, that is what it means to be redeemed. We've talked about what it means to be trapped in the dominion of darkness. But now, next, we want to zoom in on those words at the end of the sentence, which says that in Jesus, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So what does it mean to be redeemed? Well, redemption is when a person is released and set free through the payment of a price. A ransom price is paid so that they can be set free. What is this ransom price? Well, in the case of the prisoner, his freedom came at the price of another man's life. In the case of the slave girl, her freedom came on that remarkable afternoon when a woman suddenly knocked on the door of the house. And as the slave master opened the door, she handed him a suitcase of cash and she announced that she wanted to buy the slave girl's freedom. The confused slave master called the slave girl into the room and asked if she knew this woman. And she said, "No, I've no idea who she is." "Well," said the slave master, "she's just offered me $2 million in cash for your release, so go and pack your bags. You're free." What about for you and I? What is the ransom price that needs to be paid in order for us to be freed from the dominion of darkness, freed from our slavery to sin? Well, the Bible says that we each deserve the worst possible punishment for our crimes. Why? Because we have committed the worst possible sin imaginable. We have rebelled against the awesome, majestic, holy, lovely, good, incredible, most wonderful being who has ever existed, God. We spat in his face and we trashed his world. And then sometimes we even have the cheek, when things go wrong in our lives, to come to that God and say, "Oh, please bless me." What's the punishment for a crime like that? Death? followed by an eternity in hell, where we will be cut off from God and from all his goodness forever. The worst possible punishment for the worst possible crime. The only way that we can be redeemed is if someone, and who on earth would, be willing to take that punishment on himself. That is what Jesus did when he died on the cross. Why did he die? Well, it sure wasn't an accident. It was an intentional act of utterly incomprehensible love when Jesus put up his hand and said, "I'll do it. I will take the punishment for their sins so they can be forgiven. Father, accept my perfect blameless life as the ransom payment." And so Galatians 3 says that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. 2 Corinthians 5 says that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Do you see how redemption works? He dies for us. We're given eternal life. He is cursed for us, and we receive blessing. He becomes sin for us, and we are declared innocent. It's incredible, isn't it? And he did it willingly. Jesus actually told us it's exactly why he came to earth. It's the whole reason he came down from heaven. Jesus said, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." That's why he came, to give his life as a ransom for many, for me, for you. It's shocking. We stand there like that prisoner on death row who's suddenly set free, just flabbergasted as an innocent man volunteers to be executed for us, dying for a crime he never committed, dying for a crime that we committed against him. What does that prisoner need to do in order to receive his redemption? Nothing. What did the slave girl contribute to the ransom payment? Nothing. And friends, this is why Christians get so excited about Jesus. This is why we love coming to church. This is why we sing. This is why we tell other people about Jesus. We don't do all of those things because we're desperately trying to be good enough. Maybe that's what you think. Oh, Christians, they're always just trying to be good enough, aren't they? Trying to earn God's love, hoping that, you know, on the scales one day, or the good deeds, if we do enough, they'll outweigh the bad deeds, and that maybe God will say, "Yeah, all right, good enough, I'll save you." No, 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 that is not freedom. That is an impossible burden of religious do-goodism, and it will crush you. That's not why we're here today. The reason we're here today is because when we were filthy and helpless and trapped and doomed, Jesus stepped in to save us. And he did it all. He paid every single dollar and cent of the ransom. Kids, that's why Easter is so special. Yeah, we do love chocolate and hot cross buns and public holidays. But most of all, we love that God has come to save us, come to help us, come to fix our broken world, come to shower us with love and kindness, not because we deserve it, but simply because he is so ridiculously loving and kind. We're nearly done. We've talked about how we're all trapped in the dominion of darkness, and we've talked about how Jesus came to redeem us. But now what? Now what? Maybe you're here this morning, or you're listening online, welcome, and you're still not sure about Jesus. You like this idea of being redeemed, of being forgiven for all your mistakes and stuff-ups, but you're still wondering, what would be involved if I really gave my life to Jesus and asked him to redeem me? What's that gonna involve? Well, let's look at our Bible passage one more time. It says that God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. That's what happens when you put your faith in Jesus. You are brought into the kingdom of Jesus, and Jesus becomes your king. He becomes the Lord of your life, and the Lord of your body, and the Lord of your money, the Lord of everything. Why? Because the Bible says you are not your own. You were bought at a price. You were bought with the precious blood of Jesus. In another part of the Bible, in Romans 6, it says, now that we've been set free from sin, we have become, get this, slaves of God. Slaves of God? Hang on, I thought the whole point of being redeemed is that we get to go free. This is a terrible sales pitch, Reuben. You're telling me to become a Christian so I can become a slave of God. Sounds bad, doesn't it? It's almost enough to turn away and say no thanks. But if we reject Jesus, what's the alternative? What kind of freedom do we really have if we just keep living in a prison cell of our own sinful desires? What kind of freedom do we really have if we live it up now and our execution is looming? And here's the thing. Having God as your master only sounds bad because we don't really understand what kind of master he is. Having Jesus as your king only sounds bad because we don't realize how awesome being in his kingdom is. I mean, wouldn't you gladly work for a master who was always good and kind? That's a boss I would want to have. Wouldn't you gladly submit to a God whose rules were always perfectly wise? Wouldn't you gladly allow the Holy Spirit to come and live with you if you knew that he would help you every day, help you with every struggle, be with you all the time? Wouldn't you gladly trust the Redeemer who has promised that he's coming back again soon to redeem all things, to end all suffering and bring perfect paradise on earth? I would. And if I can speak personally for a moment, following Jesus has honestly been the best thing that has ever happened in my life. It is the best thing. There is no other life I would rather live. How about you? Today I want to invite you to accept the redemption that Jesus has already won for you. The price has already been paid in full. The question is, do you want to be free? Do you know that you need forgiveness? Are you sick of your sin? Are you done with trying to run your own life? Are you hungry for God's love? Well, then this morning, I want to invite you, plead with you, to leave the dungeon of your sin behind and break free from the dominion of darkness. All you need to do is talk to Jesus. Maybe you'll do that today. Talk to Jesus. Confess your sin to him. Thank him for paying the ransom so you can be forgiven. And then ask him to be your king, the Lord of your life from now on. Confess, thank, ask. And as you do this, the chains of guilt and condemnation will fall away. And God will bring you into his glorious heavenly kingdom. Completely forgiven, completely free, completely loved, completely safe forever. Let's pray now and thank God for the redemption we have in Jesus. God, we thank you so much that you've rescued us from the dominion of darkness. We thank you that Jesus has redeemed us, that his own life given on the cross was the ransom payment, and that through him all our sins can be forgiven. Thank you that you bring us into the kingdom of the Son, the most wonderful kingdom in the world. For those of us who have already trusted in Jesus, we pray this Easter that you will stir our hearts again to appreciate our redemption. And Lord, if there are people here this morning who are still in the dungeon, in the dark, we pray that you'll draw them to yourself. We pray that even today might be the day they talk to Jesus and ask him into their lives. We thank you that the payment has already been made and all we have to do now is simply come. Jesus, we praise you and thank you for being our Redeemer. Amen. Well, the muso is going to come up.